This is KBIA News. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Think of all the things you might do differently than your grandparents' generation. How you dress, how you cook, how you communicate. In this episode of The Next Harvest, KBIA's Jana Rose Schleiss explores the historical context behind just such a generational divide in agriculture.
Early on a cool September morning, farmer Josh Payne tends to his flock in Concordia, Missouri, just east of Kansas City.
See how they're already kind of lining up?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yep.
All right, let's do this.
As Payne opens the gate, about 1,000 sheep round the corner and bound into fresh grass. The pasture the flock is grazing was once corn and soybeans, along with the rest of the Payne family farm. Josh's grandfather, Charles Payne, cultivated nearly 1,000 acres of row crops for decades. But as Josh took over managing the property, that wasn't going to work.
I found out I'm allergic to herbicide. My throat would swell shut 3 or 4 times a week during harvest.
Payne wanted to transition the farm to regenerative agriculture, a movement that aims to revive farmland soil and by extension the ecosystem and the small farm economy. He hoped that by changing what and how they farmed, it would reduce the need for chemical inputs. Josh told his grandfather they should use cover crops, graze sheep, and plant an orchard. But Charles wasn't having it.
I'm like, Grandpa, we should do this. He's like, no. We're not planting trees. Literally his phrase was, I spent my whole life tearing out trees. We're not going to go plant them now.
96-year-old Charles Payne came of age during an industrial and chemical revolution in agriculture. Like countless other Midwestern farmers, he heeded the advice from industry and government leaders to plant fence row to fence row.
And that's what we did. Tore out all the fences and hedgerows, and now I wish I had some of them back.
U.S. agriculture production tripled in the latter half of the 20th century, due in part to chemical inputs. But that came at an environmental cost. University of Missouri rural sociologist Mary Hendrickson says the way Charles Payne farmed was a result of policy, research, and methods encouraged by the industry. She says farmer skepticism or resistance to regenerative agriculture is a result of their lived experience.
I mean, there's a reason why somebody who has lived through that transition says, wait, you want me to go back to what?
The advice Charles's grandchildren are getting is at times the exact opposite of what he was told in his day. Although Payne says he's had to learn to bite his tongue at times during this transition, he's happy they're farming.
Of course, it's a different way of farming, but they're on the farm, and they seem to really enjoy it.
Hendrickson says in agriculture communities especially, there exists a generational pressure to farm. And to succeed doing so.
This identity as a farmer and the land and holding that for the next generation was significant for farmers.
For Charles and Josh Payne, the elders' resistance to change and the younger's desire for change were both motivated by the goal to keep the farm alive. Here's how Josh puts it.
Grandpa, you made the right decisions for your time. You were faithful to this land, to this place, to your family. But that just looks different now.
The Paynes now graze their sheep among 800 chestnut trees, and they're still finding ways to grow and adapt, most recently adding a produce garden. In Concordia, Missouri, I'm Jana Rose Schleiss, KBIA News.
Coming up on The Next Harvest, we'll learn about peer support networks where farmers teach one another a new way forward. You can find all of the stories in this series at KBIA.org.